This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Stevie Kim. How are you, Stevie?
Good, thanks for coming.
Yes.
You're my home, actually, today.
Yes, I'm in Verona. Yes. Verona, the city of love, according to all the...
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
You've heard about that.
Yeah, I arrived on Friday and we did some touristy things.
Oh, you did?
Okay. And we had a look at the balcony that everybody talks about that was built about 100
what
years
about,
ago.
What about Juliet's, you know, chest where you get to...
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I got a photo of it and I made the mistake because I noticed everybody was... fondling her breasts.
Yeah.
And so I asked the audience, I wasn't sure, you know, should I hold her titties?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh no, it just came out so wrong. And my wife was mortified.
Yes, I can imagine.
But I did notice they were the glossy bit, so I figured it was like...
Right, yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah, there's always something.
That's actually, I think, the most visited attraction in Verona.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. There's not... I mean, it's a very pretty town. I quite liked it, and we've had a good wander around for 2 days.
Tiny.
Yeah. Well, it is tiny. I did a big run yesterday. I did 20K for 2 hours.
You must have been circling around Verona for like 10 times.
No, it was all right. I ran into the city, and then around the canal, and then back around the canal, and then I landed up way over in the middle of the suburbia.
Yeah.
There was a big park that you could run through and things. So it was really nice. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
Okay, great. Okay. We'll be here till tomorrow.
Yeah, talking about Verona. Although, you know, it is quite interesting because there's a lot of wine. It's a wine region.
Yeah, it's wine country.
You've got Suave and Valpolicella and Bardolino, isn't it?
Yep, Bardolino near the lake.
Yeah. That was the one I was trying to remember it last night, or 2 nights ago. We were at some restaurant and we couldn't quite remember the name of the wine region. I always think of it as a Valpolicella lookalike, so...
They do different kinds of wine,
Okay. All right, anyway, Stevie, let's talk about Vinitaly and a bit about yourself. So first of all, what is Vinitaly? And then we'll find out a bit about yourself.
Well, Vinitaly is an annual wine fair that takes place in Verona. It's been going over 50 years. And initially, it started as kind of a wine lover's event for the local wine growers.
Oh, okay.
Then, of course, it expanded into something much, much bigger. And now we host 120,000 trade visitors, mostly, hopefully, every year.
Okay, that's quite a bit. And there's a massive complex here. We're just on the outskirts of Vinitaly's exhibition centre. It's labelled as Vinitaly, so is it...
Yeah, Vinitaly. And it's like its fortune and its curse at the same time, because Vin, of course, means wine and Italy means Italy. So it's predominantly Italian wine producers who are exhibiting here.
Mm.
And sometimes that sways away like the international interest in a way. But if you want anything to do with Italian wine, whether you're selling end or the buying end, this is where the place to be.
Oh, okay. Cool. And so it's predominantly a big trade fair, but Vinitaly does more than that. We'll explore that. You've got some courses and...
Yes. So I kind of came on and, you know, I mean, if you think about it, exhibition, right? Trade exhibition. It's kind of an old way of doing business before the internet era. Right. So how do you adapt? Because it is like very much as far as like, you know, the wine exhibition is, you know, you the producers, the suppliers are behind their stands or their own space and they pour wine and have wine tasting. Mm. Right. That's pretty much it. Hoping that they'll make some sales.
Yeah.
But so I came on and I tried to evolve that into more of a promotional communication platform, thereby introducing different types of products and services, including, you know, things such as, you know, Vinitaly International Academy, which is an educational platform to promote Italian wine ambassadors. So we certify that in a very rigorous and methodical way. And that's just like one of the products that we've introduced.
Okay. Well, before we get into all that sort of stuff in a bit more detail, just tell us about yourself, Stevie. You sound American.
Yes, I was born in Korea, and I grew up in New York City. Then my original sin is Veronese. I have one husband. He's Veronese, DOC. So that's why I ended up
not in DSCG.
Yeah, not guaranteed. That's the reason why I'm here.
Okay.
So I guess it's not very original, the story. It's you know, romantic, maybe many, many years ago. And that's, I think, a lot of the expats that are here because, you know, they found a new home.
Okay. So you're married to an Italian from Verona, is it?
Yes, very much so. There's nothing I can do about that now.
Sorry, I've got the same problem. I'm from New Zealand and I married an English girl.
Oh, so. Okay. So, you know, you have some empathy.
Yeah, I completely understand that. You know, and you know, you get used to a place, and I quite like London now.
Yeah.
When I first went to London, I didn't like it at all. But I was living in the sort of more expat community as opposed to the more normal English people, I suppose.
I think it saves me Verona because it is quite small and great quality of living for to bring up family, but it is small and provincial. But and coming from New York, I guess anything is small and provincial. But it saves me because I do a lot of traveling, and that kind of gives me the right balance.
Yeah, gives you international look. Although to be honest, it's a nice tight little city. I like we're staying in a hotel on the outskirts. Well, on the outskirts of the main city, and it's only a 30-minute walk into town, so we just walked into town and back. It was really nice.
Good.
So what's your role here at Vinitaly?
So I'm my official title is the managing director of Vinitaly International, which is the promotional arm for Vinitaly for the rest of the world and also the incoming aspect of it.
Okay, what does that mean, though?
That means that we do primarily Vinitaly promotional activities, whether it's a walk-around tasting or educational programs or master classes abroad, all over the world. Mm-hmm. We've been mainly focused in China and stateside, of course, stateside because it is the number one market for Italian wine, and China because potentially it could be the most important. So we've been focused on these two areas, but we do, of course, other promotional activities in classical regions as such as Russia. We've been doing it for 15 years. It's a very, very popular show in Russia. We just came back from that, Moscow and St. Petersburg. And then other European cities, and we dabble into South America, etc. So that is the kind of the Vinitaly International, plus the communication platform in English, in the English language. And then what we do is when we go abroad and we engage in these contacts with the trade people, my main objective is to bring them back to not just Vinitaly, but throughout the year to the territory, the wine growing areas of the entire country.
Yeah. So Vinitaly International runs wine shows around the world.
Yes.
You don't do it in London, though, do you? Or England?
No, you know, we haven't in a long time, but it's something that we're working on.
Okay.
I guess, paradoxically, you know, European market is quite settled.
Yeah.
Well, now it could quite become interesting because of the Brexit, so because nobody knows what's going on. So I kind of, every time when there's kind of a small crisis, I kind of look at that as a window of opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think perhaps there could be an interesting window there for England.
Okay, so you're more focused on newer markets. It's about opening up markets.
Yeah, I mean, it's more about not necessarily newer markets because, like, I mean, America is one of the oldest markets in terms of maturity, but it's about trying to help the producers to get a little bit more engagement in the territory.
Yeah, okay. And so the shows that you run, are they consumer-facing or trade-facing?
It's 95% B2B.
Business to business. Yeah. So you're encouraging restaurants and importers and that sort of stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So the idea is to get people, just get exposure for Italian wines into the trade.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think about, I mean, you know, Vinitaly, of course, it's an exhibition fair company. By the way, Vinitaly is just a brand. It's actually owned by a company called Verona Fiere, and they run about 30 fairs, I believe, into marble, you know, horse, you know, agriculture, just, you know, earth moving equipments, etc. And Vinitaly is just one brand that they own.
Oh, okay.
It's quite famous, but it is the brand that they own and it's recognized. But Vinitaly in itself is not a company.
Okay.
So I look at Vinitaly and Vinitaly International, especially Vinitaly International, more as a media company rather than, you know, event management company.
Yep.
You know, so that's kind of the approach we have. And hence, we are focused very much into developing all the products and services to help, to communicate, to promote Italian wine vis-a-vis these promotional activities.
Okay. And the building, the big exhibition center we're at, that's owned by Verona Fair.
Exactly.
Okay. And that's why I was looking at the size of it, and the building's called Vinitaly, I think. On Google Maps anyway. And
well, Google Map, it depends on how it's registered by Facebook. It's completely, you know, how you register it. So
yeah.
It's either Vinitaly, Verona Fiera. You'll see all of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Vinitaly International.
I thought it was a very large exhibition space for one fair.
Yeah, yeah. No.
So that makes a lot more sense.
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's a bit like the London Wine Fair is owned by Britex, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
And they run a number of different
Yeah, types, it's exactly the same business model.
Okay. And do you guys have, because you're publicizing and pushing Italian wines, do you get income from the government or Europe, or how does that all tie in?
I think all trade exhibition companies, they do get some subsidies and financing through the various ministries. In the case of in Italy, it's primarily the agriculture ministry, the economics development ministry, and which is and the subunit of that is the old ICE. I don't know if you know that.
No.
It's the Italian Trade Agency. It's called now ITA. They've changed their names, and they've been helping us quite a bit, you know. So, like, even for Wine to Wine, which is the two-day conference, the business wine forum that we're doing, they, you know, subsidize, you know, they help us with inviting the speakers, for example.
Yeah, I'm speaking here tomorrow, I think it is.
Yeah.
And they've paid for my flights and my
hotel.
Exactly. Which I'm like, way, great stuff.
So that's very helpful, right? Because to organize something like this, it's quite monumental because we have more than 100 speakers.
Yeah.
Right, 150 to be quite exact. So, you know, and just the logistics of all of that, it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
So they do help us because it is in the interest of promoting Italian wine community.
Mm. Okay.
So they've been very good about that. We've been working with them for as long as I can remember. And I've been here for about 8-9 years now already.
Okay. Let's talk a bit more about Vinitaly International,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the sort of going out. And don't you said you do a lot of stuff in English language rather than the Italian language?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? Because I was listening to Monty's Italian Wine Podcast, which is one of your
right.
products.
Yes.
And I was quite surprised to find it was in English. I was expecting it to be in Italian because Monty's Italian is, well, it's better than mine anyway. So
he has that terrible English accent that there's nothing I can do about that. But, you know, but the whole point is that, I mean, I really believe in podcasts. I mean, I sought you out in the very beginning and I thought, what a wonderful idea. I'm a serious believer in podcasts because I think there's less friction and audio is the future, but I don't think the Italians quite get it yet. But I think if you are the first mover, like yourself, I think you will have an advantage in the future. The whole point is that we are focused in communicating in English and sometimes in Russian and Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to communicate the universal language and also the market, the language that the market commands.
Yeah.
That's you know, we don't want to, you know, force Italian onto others. I do, however, want the others to understand the Italian language, the wine, the culture. So in order to do that, I think English is the most important language and the most efficient and effective.
Yeah.
So that's why it's in English.
And also, if you think about it, you've got the American market, which is quite big.
Yes.
And if everybody learns one language other than their own, quite often it's English or something like that.
So yeah.
It is, It is, you know, we were looking at our listenerships.
Yes.
And I was looking at where we rank in Google, and sort of, you know, we rank number 73 for food in China. You know, and I'm an English language podcast.
And that's and, you know, and really kudos to you, because you know there is a heavy wall, you know, firewall for, you know, podcasts, and as well as a lot of the blog type, you know, formats. So that's amazing, because like we have it for the Chinese channels, we put it on through another channel, because called Himalayas, and it's a Chinese podcast channel. You know, so it's like iCloud. It's like SoundCloud, but it's in through the Chinese channel, because you know, in China, for example, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and sometimes LinkedIn, Twitter, of course, they're censored.
Yeah.
So you can't use them. Mm. You know, and it's kind of the same with the SoundCloud. It's they have difficulty downloading it. They have difficulty accessing it. So we need to put it through the Chinese channel, and we have another channel for that. So if you are 73, imagine what you
there's
can do.
There's an Apple's iTunes.
Yeah, but it's not accessible.
Yeah.
If you have an Chinese Apple ID.
Okay.
You know, so think about that. It's something you can be doing.
Yeah,
we can help you with that.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be good. Yeah, I must admit, not that we really want to talk about this, but one of the things for us is because we started so early, we had to build everything from scratch.
Yeah.
And so you get all your systems set up, and you just want to get producing rather than rebuild your systems.
Right.
Whereas a lot of people who started.
Yeah, I see that machine you have in front of you. It looks like something from the
Dark Ages. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I bought that. It cost me £1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 15 years ago or 16 years ago.
I think you can, like, you know, get on eBay for, like, €5 or something.
Yeah, something like, you can get something about the size of a pencil. Yeah, yeah. It's just as powerful. But, you know, it's one of those things. Once you've committed it and you've spent the money, and you get good quality sound out of it.
Yeah, I'll have to Instagram it later. Yeah. The modern technology, dude.
So, I think what we'll do, Kim, is we're going to wrap it up there, and I think next week we'll explore a little bit more about some of the courses you guys do.
Great.
And a little bit more about Vinitaly International.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Okay.